A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Chagiga Chaf Dalid, Chagiga 24b, pagination is 48. Towards the end of the page, about 8 lines up, a new Mishnah. The previous Mishnah of the Perek described how Kodshim, items for the Beis HaMikdash, were considered more serious, more chamur, than Teruma, the tithe of grain that would go to the Kohen. Our Mishnah reverses the perspective by telling us that in certain ways, Kodshim, items for the Beis HaMikdash, were more lenient than Teruma, the tithe of the grain. And the reason is twofold. The simple reason is that the Amei Haaretz, who we're going to be dealing with, the people who are either ignorant or a little bit less careful in mitzvahs, so when it came to the Beis HaMikdash, they were careful. And that's reason number one, that we can be more lenient in certain ways regarding Kodshim. When we're dealing with people, then people react differently when they're dealing with something very serious, like the Beis HaMikdash, and Emas Kodesh Alav, the fear of the Kodesh is upon him. We encounter this to a certain extent in the way the Amei Haaretz dealt with Demai, in the way they dealt with grain, and therefore resulting in the laws of Demai, in that certain types of tithes they would do, because they were considered so serious. But on the tithes that they did not consider serious, we had a concept of demai to be careful, and you would have to retake that particular tithe, unknowing for sure if the Am HaAretz had taken care of it. So that's reason number one. Am HaAretz in certain applications were sufficiently diligent and careful. The other difference between Kodesh and Truma is that we wouldn't want to exclude the Am HaAretz from the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, we're more willing to accept an explanation. For example, over here, if it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, in that case, we're careful. Even though you may catch us not being careful by other things, we're very willing to accept that explanation, because if we don't, they're not going to be able to bring libations to the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas, when it comes to Teruma, even if they argue, we are being careful, but we have some skepticism because we see certain lapses. So if we're careful or strict with them, it's not going to exclude them from the mitzvah of Teruma, because they can always give it to a Kohen Am HaAretz. Not all Kohanim were Chaverim, the higher level of observance. Kohen is something that goes with lineage, and if he's born a Kohen, he's a Kohen. And you would have some Kohanim who were Amei HaAretz, and they would definitely cooperate and accept Teruma tithes from other Amei HaAretz. So by being strict by Teruma, we're not excluding them. So again, two reasons. One is that Kodesh is more strict, and therefore they are more careful. And secondly, if we were going to be strict by Kodshim, it would exclude them from the Beis HaMikdash, and we don't want to do that. Whereas by Teruma, they'll always have recourse to go with a Kohen Am HaAretz. I found this rule to be an eye-opener. Sometimes, for example, someone comes with a pair of tefillin to be checked, and you're not sure their level of observance, and you might categorize them in this general category of Amei HaAretz, people who are not totally careful in mitzvahs. So they come to you, they want their tefillin checked, and sometimes one needs to wonder What happens if the tefillin turn out to be posel? What happens if there's a problem? Are they sufficiently dedicated to the mitzvah that they will replace it? If not, you're left in an interesting dilemma where it might be better to let the person continue using the tefillin that he was given by his parents with the assumption that hopefully they bought a good pair. And I'm not willing to start analyzing and questioning that. When the person is ready to purchase a new pair, if he should need to, then we can be confident that checking the tefillin is not going to turn them away from observance. And if something indeed does need to be repaired, that they would be prepared at that time to rectify it. It may not be a perfect analogy, but I do believe that the lesson and the things that were troubling the Chachmei HaTalmud, the things that were troubling Chazal, that they didn't want to turn the Am Haaretz away, so we would look for any explanation, reasonable explanation, and therefore they would allow the Kodshim, is a powerful perspective that we need to bear in mind. Let's see the text of the Mishnah. Chomer b'teruma, there's a strictness regarding teruma, Shabbi Yehuda. Ne'monim al tairis yayin v'shemen koyimos hashana. Because when it comes to libations, things for the Beis HaMikdash, we would always trust the Amei Haaretz all year long. And that's what we described, because it's for the Beis HaMikdash. And we are confident we're going to rely on them as far as the taira, the purity of the item, that it did not become tamei, ritually impure. Uvishas hagitos v'habadim, and at the time of the pressing, afala truma, they would trust the Amei Haaretz even regarding teruma. And the reason over here is because while it's being pressed, everybody is careful and they allow themselves to be instructed by the more learned Jews, and therefore we can rest assured that it was done properly. It's a little bit like the Mashkichim coming in, and it's got certification, whether it's got true certification or it's just self-certified, but they're cooperating. They're listening to the instruction, and therefore you could rely on it. Avru agitos v'habatim, once the pressing time has ended, ve'avir lo chaveh shol yayin shol teruma, and then an Am Haaretz brings teruma wine, lo yikablenu mimenu, a person should not accept it. They should explain that if I accept it, I'm not going to be able to eat it, because they were recognized two different classes of observance. Today we sometimes say the people who buy the cheap mezuzah and the person who buys a more expensive mezuzah. And likewise, in Hechsherim, there are people that will take anything that has certification of some sort, and there are people that are very discerning. And apparently it was recognized that there were two different classes, and you were able to say, if I accept it, it's going to go to waste. I can't use it. And he will therefore give his teruma to a person on his social observance level, which is a Kohen Am Haaretz. I do not know if this concept of accepting or not accepting is applicable today. It depends on the case. Sometimes it makes sense to accept a gift given to you, even if you can't use it, because returning it would be insulting, and that's not acceptable. As I'm explaining, I believe in their time, it was a recognized two different classes of observance. Today, you might refer to it as the people who keep Yashan and the people who don't keep Yashan, and it's recognized. You're keeping a certain halacha, I'm not keeping that halacha. If I were to cook for you, I would make sure to cook according to your specifications. I understand your level of observance. I'm not intimidated by it. And in that case, he would simply reveal that he can't use it because of his stringency in this aspect of kashrus. But the Mishnah provides a fascinating loophole over here. Since they legislated that at the time of the pressing, everyone is trusted, because the mood in the Jewish people was one of education and observance. So therefore, if the Am Haaretz wanted to, he could be a wise person, and he can hold on to that barrel until the pressing time of the following year, and at that time he would be trusted to hand it to the Kohen Chaver, and he would accept it, because that's the way they made the rule, that it's a freebie. At the time of the pressing, it's acceptable. Likewise, im Omar lo hefrashti lesocho revias kodesh ne'emon. If the Am Haaretz says that included in this barrel is a portion of kodesh, so since he's trusted on kodesh, he ends up being trusted on the tahor status, the purity status of the entire barrel. And what we see here, I believe, is that we're not dealing with people who simply were lax in observance across the board. That's not the definition of the Talmudic Am Haaretz. The Talmudic Am Haaretz was a little bit lax in certain areas, but when we got him at the right time, he was good. And if he gave us his word regarding Kodesh, for example, he was trusted. He's a good person. He has certain degrees of not as careful in observance, and we have certain things we're careful about, we're cautious, but essentially, it's stunning how it blended, and he was definitely a trusted member of the Jewish people, except that there were certain safeguards that were put in place, and remarkably relaxed when it came to the pressing time. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.